Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Loud. Have a good one to get for you guys here. Tiger Woods, Riviera, Genesis Invitational, PGA Tour changes, all that. Very, very exciting. Couple housekeeping items, though, Rex, that I wanted to get into before we started this edition. First of all, we have some new music that's going to be dropping the intro and outro, hopefully later this week for the Sunday show. Not going to lie, folks. It banger. Is an absolute banger.
Yep.
Can't wait to get that.
What took us so long on that front? Like when I got that music, I was like, well, we should have been using this from the start.
Sure. Steven, shout out Steven. Our producer helped find it for us. Hopefully, again, debuting that on Sunday, not just for the podcast version, but for the linear version as well. Another item, loved doing the voices in the crowd section at the end of the linear show. Love hearing from you guys. If you have any comments, if you have any questions, we love to include it each and every week on the Sunday show. So drop them on YouTube. We'll try to get to as many questions or comments as we can. And Rex, on the AK episode, which I would call it that, on Sunday, we devoted 30 of the 52 minutes. Loved hearing the positive feedback from you guys. I was struck by how many folks said simply thank you for covering this. Like, of course we're covering it. We report the news, we cover the news, and we analyze the news. We're not beholden to what others at our company are saying or doing. We have tremendous leadership that it trusts us inherently to do it fairly and to cover the story as it is. I've been here for nearly 14 years. I don't ever remember Rex being told not to do something or not to cover a story, either for the digital product or for the pod show that you and I have done now for a couple of years. And so great to see that. Love the feedback. You can trust us. We know what news is. We will bring it to you. And we love doing it. Anything on your end on that part?
No, I think it was such a unique story. And I think you and I did a good job, not to pat ourselves on the back here, of sort of digging in. And there's so many layers to this. You were on Golf Today on Tuesday, and you were supposed to be on with Joel Beal from Golf Digest. And I was actually looking forward to talking with Joel about it. I got your thoughts. I got 30 minutes of your thoughts. I know exactly what you think about the AK victory. But Joel wrote a brilliant column on golfdigest.com, sort of about the nuances of Anthony Kim. And like everyone else in the world, they're different shades of this person. And some of them are sort of grimy, and some of them have been through the mud. And this is out the other end is an amazing story. And I think a lot of journalists in the golf media landscape did a really good job of telling this story and trying to circle back around. Because if you go back when he first arrived on LIV Golf, I think there was the idea that he's just a sideshow. That they're just doing this just to try to create some sort of interest, that they're not going to take him seriously as a competitor. For him to prove everyone wrong on that front, I think is an amazing story. And you're right, the feedback we had on that pod was pretty amazing. So we appreciate it as always. And you're right, we're going to try to do our best to cover the news as we see fit and as we think it's worthy.
Yeah, like this might be a peek behind the curtain, journalism 101, but we're taught in J school about the inverted pyramid, right? Where if you think about it, the biggest news up top, and then you sort of winnow your way down to the end of the story. Or when I think about it for the pod show, what's most important? You do that in the first block. What's least important? No offense. It would be punch shots or listener questions or what's
voices in the crowd, which you just told people we love. But yeah, that's going
to
be in the
last we do love it. But if you have to cut something, that would be where it's at. And so devoting 30 minutes to what I thought was the biggest story of the week to me was a no-brainer. That's no offense to Kyle Morikawa. We loved watching the golf tournament. I watched every single shot during the coverage, Golf Channel and CBS coverage of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Great tournament, signature event on the PGA Tour. Love to get to it. When you're talking about newsworthiness, when you talk about news value, I think it was inarguable that Anthony Kim winning for the first time anywhere in 16 years and the backstory and the layers to it and who he beat was the biggest story. We're going to continue to do that. That's how we can continue to format our show on this network. We certainly appreciate the feedback. Rex, on Tuesday, had some big news with Tiger Woods, who stepped to the, he is not playing in this week's Genesis Invitational, but the tournament obviously is hosted by and benefits the TGR Foundation, which has done great work and now celebrating its 30-year anniversary. There was a lot to get to. You asked me in the roundtable on Tuesday, which questions did you want to ask Tiger? I think I rattled off like five or six. I eventually settled on the PGA Tour schedule and basically him explaining why a less is more model is actually beneficial for fans. He was asked that exact question, and the answer he gave was very, very unfulfilling. I think there's a lot to get to and specific parts that we can break out. But if you were thinking, what is the single most important thing that Tiger said on Tuesday? What would you say?
I mean, Todd Lewis. And a very, and almost a throwaway question Todd asked, is the Masters out of the question? And I think going in, I wouldn't even have thought that was in the top five questions. You didn't rattle that one off when I asked you what you wanted to ask. That was not
the first one. No, that was the first one. Is
well,
are you prepared to play the Masters?
Well, it almost felt like a throwaway question, though, at that point. And is the Masters out of the question? And the response was simple. No, it's not out of the question. No, simple no. And I think that's the one that sort of tipped the scale, surprisingly, at least for me, because I wasn't looking that far ahead. According to Todd Lewis, who we had spoke to that morning on Golf Today, he was just chipping and putting. He revealed during the press conference that Tiger is now hitting full shots, so he's much further along in the process than I think any of us anticipated. I was stunned by it because he very rarely opens the door like that, at least in this version of Tiger Woods. Normally, he's downplaying. Normally, I think he's shading to the side of caution that we'll see, you know, we'll see how my body feels. That one felt a little bit more optimistic. So I think walking away, I could only imagine the ticket market, the aftermarket for tickets to the Masters jumped. What percentage you want to put on that? And that one little answer, I could only imagine people thinking to themselves that, yes, he could play.
So the exact question is the Masters off the table? That's how T. Lou phrased it. Mm-hmm. And Tiger said no to that. You could, I mean, there's a couple workarounds there. Is the Masters off the table? No. You know, I'm certainly trying to get ready for the Masters. I think that was pretty clear and evident in everything else that he was saying, how he was progressing, saying that he's now hitting full shots. He said he's not hitting full shots particularly well, but yes, he is hitting them, at least ramping up in that direction since he had the surgery, I believe it was in October. So he continues to progress from that standpoint. The smirk at the end of Tiger's answer, where he said no, and then he paused for two or three seconds and he gave one of these. That to me is no, carrying a lot of weight that, here.
That smirk isn't anything like what Tiger did. That smirk is creepy. That smirk you shouldn't do around small children. Tiger's smirk was very different than that. Please never do that around your children.
Don't ever do that smirk again. So I think that smirk is more him being cheeky with T. Lou and giving him a short answer. He's done that plenty of times when he one word someone and I think a one word answer tends to have a connotation of, oh, you're being rude or you're being dismissive. And a cheeky little smirk at the end is his way of passing it off. Like, oop, no harm intended there. Didn't mean that to come off perhaps how it did. I think a lot of people on social media though are suggesting that smirk means like he's hiding something, that he's ready to like unleash hell on the field at the Masters. And I don't get that at all. It's pretty clear in his words, Rex, that he's ramping up, that he'd like to play in the Masters. Of course he'd like to compete in the Masters. Just 24 consecutive cuts made, longest streak in Masters history. I think it's at least really cool that he's trying to get to that point with the Masters now less than 2 months away. I still think you're deluding yourself if you think the 2026 Masters is going to end in anything other than Tiger Woods probably having some sort of cut sweat on Friday.
Probably. I'm not even jumping that far ahead, and perhaps I'm being too optimistic. Maybe I got swept up in it as I'm sitting listening to that 20 or so minute press conference yesterday. You're right. He is the king of the one word answer, and there was a smirk to that. I kind of read it a little bit different, and again, I kind of walked away a little bit more optimistic than I was, and I think we'll get an answer sooner rather than later. If you look at, and I'm sorry to revert to this because I know it's not even comparing apples to apples, but his Jupiter Lynx team is scheduled to play on Sunday night of Cognizant Wing. So essentially next week, Sunday night, they're scheduled to play. I think there's a level of optimism that he might show up there. That would be one of the tells that, okay, maybe he is ready. And I know it's playing a TGL match inside where he's not walking Augusta. I'm not trying to compare those two things, but it certainly would be an interesting soft opening if the idea, and we all know the idea, is to play the Masters. So we'll get an answer sooner rather than later. And again, maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but I walked away thinking to myself that it's a possibility. And I didn't go into that press conference thinking there was going to be a possibility of that at all. To turn the page, though, I think the more telling questions focused on, well, twofold. One, we'll get to the schedule stuff in a second. The other eye-opening comment to me was, have you actually been in touch with the PGA of America? Because if you remember back in December, he was asked point blank about being the Ryder Cup captain. We all know that's his golf cart, his walkie-talkie. If he wants it, PGA of America has made it pretty clear, this is your team. You can be the captain in Ireland next year. His comment then was, I don't know. No one's talked to me about it. And I think you and I both had the same reaction.
Our heads exploded. If you're the PGA of America, I know you're dealing with the fallout from what happened to Bethpage. How do you not even at least have a conversation about who's going to lead the team in 2027?
You have his number. Just send him a text. You can even do it just an emoji. Hey man, just a little thing. Like, Ryder Cup, winky thing. Yeah, no, thumbs up, thumbs down, just something. You don't have to take a lot of time to get into that. So at least now the conversation is being had. I did not walk away from that answer being overly optimistic that he will be wearing that captain's hat next year, because he went back to probably the reason he told them he couldn't be the captain at Bethpage last year. He is really knee deep in what's going on at the PGA Tour, the Future Competitions Committee, what the schedule is going to look like. He said he's putting more work into this than he ever did in his prime when he practiced. That to me was shocking, because we all know, I think one of the things that I always marvel at is how his work ethic, it was so glossed over. Everyone just thought he showed up week in and week out and was brilliant. I don't think anybody understood. I that was the one thing about Hank Haney's book, I think, that did a very good job of pointing out that when he arrived on Tuesday or Monday of a tournament, specifically a major championship, he knew there was nothing chance. He knew there were no questions. He had gone through the process, knew his body was ready, his game was ready, his mind was ready. And to tell me that I'm putting more work into this than I did that, that's amazing.
It certainly is amazing. And I have to say, it sounded almost exactly like what we heard in the spring and early summer of 2024, where the ball's in Tiger's court and he's trying to figure out, with the various time commitments that he has and the various functions and the various roles that he has, what he can and can't do. And would he be doing an injustice to the Ryder Cup, which he loves? Would he be doing an injustice to the U.S. Ryder Cup team as its captain if he could not devote himself fully to it? And obviously that's what the situation that ended sort of haphazardly with the announcement of Keegan Bradley as the American Ryder Cup captain, despite Keegan Bradley being among the top 20 players in the world ranking, being very competitive and vying for signature titles on the PGA Tour. The U.S. team has not won on the road since 1993. They need to have a plan in place. If I'm the PGA of America, I'm giving Tiger a hard deadline. We'd love to have you. You're by far our number one choice, but we have to get a plan in place to make sure we're giving ourselves the best opportunity to win on the road for the first time in more than three decades. I don't think that's too much to ask, Rex. It does not sound like it's going to be Tiger's duty. We're going to get to the schedule here in a second, but it sounds like that's going to be a longer process than maybe just rolling it out of the Players' Championship and be like, yep, this is what's happening in 2027. Our work here is done and we can move on to something else. It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case whatsoever. So give Tiger a deadline. If he can't, if he won't, if he doesn't want it, then you can move on to a Stuart Sink, a Justin Leonard, a Webb Simpson, another direction. But at least then you're giving them a full runway, as opposed to what did Keegan Bradley have? 13, 14 months?
Yeah, it was shorter window, but yes.
Yeah, again, there's less to do this time around, this far out, but start thinking about it, having processes in place, making arrangements for scouting trips and the like. I do think there's a benefit to being able to have a cleaner and a longer runway than they were afforded last time.
And I think both you and I are assuming that Luke Donald's going to do it again. I guess The DP World Tour seems to, maybe they need to talk him into it, but I'd be really surprised if Luke doesn't get another turn of it. And he has had the better part of a decade now to plan and to get ready for you. So whoever takes that job is going to be behind the eight ball right out of the gates. The other thing that Tiger said before we get to the schedule, and I think that was probably the most interesting part, even though there weren't any details, was he also left the door open that he likes the idea of being able to play golf in a golf cart. So We keep sort of batting this.
He's been saying that for years.
I know, and he was coy about that one, as that answer as well. However, I will say the level of optimism from those inside that over 50 circuit circle is very high, that the players, officials, they all think that he's going to play some level of PGA Tour Champions golf, and it could have a huge impact. So that one was the other takeaway.
Yeah, I think that's a good note. I think eagle-eyed observers would notice on Tiger's right shoulder, he had, I don't know if it's a new sponsor, but it's the first time that I'd noticed it, an Insperity logo.
They've been around for a couple months. Yeah.
On his right shoulder, obviously Insperity is the title sponsor for a PGA Tour Champions event as well. So that could be interesting to point out. I started this podcast, Rex, by talking about the inverted pyramid and how I like to format the show where the most important thing is up top and then we get down to the bottom. Well, and here we are with the third bullet point of the Tiger Woods press conference. It was definitely Tiger's thoughts on the schedule, was it not?
Well, and you and I have come a long way in our careers. You pointed out we've both been here. We've been at the Golf Channel for 15 plus years, whatever the case may be. The inverted pyramid applies to written journalism. That's the way you should write stories, the most important things up top, and then let people filter down. That's not necessarily the case when it comes to the visual medium that we're using right now, certainly when it comes to TV. You kind of tease to it. You kind of have people hang around. So what are we, 15 minutes in? So you finally get to the good
the
stuff.
The fourth block is never the most important block. It is always the most important block.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know what's in the fourth block today on Golf Today. I'll have to tell you. It's probably the most important element. I'm sure it's probably going to be Tilu or another round table. Yes, there were no details. I didn't anticipate any details. You're right. The one question that you wanted to ask about the idea, sell me on the idea of less is more. Why is that better?
Didn't do it well.
Our colleague Adam Shupak asked pretty much the exact question, and there really wasn't an answer there. I say of everything that Tiger sort of addressed during that press conference, that was the one where he seemed to not know exactly where he was going. He kind of rambled a little bit. Certainly, I didn't anticipate specifics, but you could have been a little bit more forthright about the idea that the model, and I will say this, and here's the interesting conversation in my mind going forward here. It's how do you balance that need for less is more, making a better competitive model. He mentioned that a couple of times. That's clearly a talking point with the need for meritocracy. And he sort of touched on that a couple of times. I think that's going to be the key in all of this conversation. And that's going to be the key that, yes, we'd love to have limited fields, best venues, best time of year, all the best players show up time and time again. But how do you make sure that you don't get locked in a cycle that these players have played their way into this magical tour, and it's so difficult for them to play their way off that we don't end up with the stories that we've been talking about the last 6 months. Chris Goddard being probably one of the best example. Michael Brennan at the end of last year. Michael Thorbjornsson. All of these players need to have that pathway. And you've already narrowed the pathway so much. I think that's the concern. The other part of it when it comes to Tiger Woods, and I sort of said this on Golf Today yesterday, he is in such a unique perspective on this. As we sort through all of these various models that could be the new schedule, I would say that any young player, if you're an 18-year-old right now and you're thinking to yourself, I want to be a professional golfer, and you're thinking about what your schedule could possibly be, I would imagine most of them think to themselves, whatever Tiger did seemed to work out pretty well. Maybe that's the way it should go. So whatever the version is that comes out, it's going to have his stamp on it.
Yeah. So this was a Todd Lewis special as well, asking specifically, do you anticipate this new schedule happening in 2027? You covered the Hero World Challenge 2.5 months ago, and Tiger was pretty clear. We fully intend to have this rolled out in 2027 at the start.
Well, dial that back a little bit. No. Now, he wasn't making a declarative statement. I think the desire is to have this ready to roll out. He has since softened that stance. I see what you're saying, but yes, he didn't say, yes, we'll have it ready next year.
But if you go back to Brian Rolapp's press conference at the Tour Championship in August, it was clear that significant, monumental, foundational change was happening to the PGA Tour, and he did not intend to roll this out in 2030 when the new TV deals were up. Like, he was talking about making seismic changes soon to the PGA Tour structure. And so I thought that it was notable, Rex, when Tiger was asked by Tilu, do you anticipate this happening in 2027? He said, we would like to have it happen in 2027, but we may have to roll it out over a couple year period. There may be parts of it that are integrated or changed from what is now in 2026 into 2027. I think on the surface, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You were the first one that I'd heard based on your reporting at the Hero World Challenge that you said, you know, 2027 might be a little bit unrealistic. I think big picture, yeah, there's contracts. Contracts are really difficult to break, whether it's title sponsorships, whether it's broadcast partners, whatever the like. The whole thing is so complicated because there are so many different constituencies that you're trying to tailor this new model to, not just star players and rank and file players. It's broadcast partners, it's sponsors, it's tournaments, it's course contracts. It's trying to work around the greater sports calendar, which seems to be a push as well. Like, there's a lot of different moving parts. Thinking that you could potentially push this across the finish line in less than a year and a half may have been overly ambitious. What I don't love about that rhetoric, though, Rex, is that you're essentially telling fans that what we want you to invest in right now as a PGA Tour product is not good enough and that it's going to be changed. So we want you to pay attention to this. We're still the best tour in the world, but yeah, we're going to be changing some things. And we don't really like the way it is right now, and we want it to make it a lot better. Sure, you want to make it a lot better. That sounds great to your fans, but you're also signaling to them like this isn't good enough, and we're going to be blowing it up. I don't like that rhetoric.
Yeah, I'll go back to the idea, and you did a good job of addressing. It's just messy. That was my only thought last year when Tiger said what he said at the Hero World Challenge, and some of the comments that I was hearing from PGA Tour officials who were optimistic that, okay, 2027 is a viable date. You pointed out that there's so many tentacles to this, and there's so many things that you have to get everybody on board, and you have so many different voices in the room. It seemed almost impossible to get that done. Now, I think they can probably get a solid skeleton, sort of a good framework in place by 2027, give everyone, including not just the fans. I think this, in the broader sense, has more to do with the TV contracts for all of the media partners are essentially coming up in 2030. And I think the idea is give each one of the media partners a chance to see exactly what the new schedule would look like and how it would work and how successful, in theory, it would be. And then you can go to the negotiating table with maximum leverage. You can go back and say, we have made our product better, therefore, we want more money. That's essentially what this is about. So that was the idea there. But the one example that keeps coming up, when I was in the Bahamas, this was the one that Brian Harmon pointed out to me. And you and I have spent really the last 2 weeks talking about this, because my question to you yesterday, I didn't never get to it. Like, last week, we had Crosby weather, which meant it was gross. It was nasty. According to T. Lou, the end of the world was coming on Sunday at Pebble Beach. It wasn't
Tuesday finish, he predicted.
Yes, yes. I don't hear that very often from someone who's not a print journalist, because normally you hear that in the press center. We have atmospheric rivers this week at Riviera. My question to you was going to be simple. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? What are we doing here? And yes, I think everybody over the last few weeks has agreed, yeah, man, it'd be better to play this particular Fortnite July or August, sometime when it's beautiful and we don't have to worry about these crazy weather patterns. Brian Harmon pointed out to me, Pebble Beach probably doesn't want to give the golf course up in July or August. They can maximize their potential there when it comes to tee times. I don't know how much a tee time is at Pebble Beach now, but you're giving up a lot of revenue to do that. So that's just one example of a room that Brian Rolapp and an official has to walk in and say, look, I know you like it in February. I know it works for your schedule, but it doesn't work for ours, so we want to do this. It's not that simple of a conversation. And you have to have, I don't want to exaggerate here, but hundreds of those conversations.
Well, yeah. And the logical follow-up to Tiger's, and there wasn't enough time because it got short and apparently he had other things to do, was how do you then prioritize the elements that you want to have integrated in 2027 versus, okay, we can punt this a little bit further down the line. Like, is having a later start to the PGA Tour season, trying to get away from the NFL playoffs, trying to do it during the bye week between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl, is that the biggest priority? Is it having a bigger summer, owning the summer, as Lee Smith, the executive director of the Players Championship, said that they're probably going to be talking about in a month's time at TPC Sawgrass? Is it having better playoff courses? Is it having Torrey Pines? Is it having Riviera? And Tiger Woods, again, did confirm that they are having discussions about moving what would be this week's Genesis Invitational into the playoff spot in August and better showcasing that tournament, that golf course, as a FedEx Cup playoff event. Is it simplifying the point system? Brian Rollup said he does not understand the FedEx Cup point structure and how it works. So if the CEO of the PGA Tour does not understand it, who comes from a NFL background, again, a non-golf background, how do you think casual golf fans, how do you think casual sports fans feel about the FedEx Cup point system? Is that the chief priority? That is sort of what you have to work through now. Okay, you can't get it all done in 2027, but what can you get done? What's the biggest priority? What will make a biggest difference for the product in the short term? I think that's a very interesting discussion as well. Rex, as we look ahead now to the Genesis Invitational, obviously a star-studded field, a shorter field. There is a cut because it's a player-hosted invitational by Tiger Woods. I have a simple question for you. We didn't get to it on the roundtable either. Jack Nicklaus never won at Riviera. Tiger Woods never won at Riviera. Scotty Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, two of the best players of their generation, if not the best players of their generation, have not won. Tiger, Rory, and Scotty combined have gone 27 combined starts without a victory there. How, why, and does it end this week?
Well, I mean, it's a great question, and we sort of addressed it yesterday. Tiger has played that event 16 times in his career, and that goes back, of course, it was his first start as a teenager back when it was the LA Open back in 1996. I am shocked. That's not right. 1992. Sorry. I am shocked that that is the one tournament that he played the most times that he never won on, because there's nothing particular about the golf course I can point to and say, well, it clearly doesn't fit Tiger's game. That doesn't work at all, because you can sit and make an argument that yes, it's kind of tight, it's kind of tree lined, but Tiger in his prime played plenty of those types of courses. I would compare it to Firestone, where he had plenty of success. You look at Scotty Scheffler, who we have spoken about. He has proven his game travels. He won the Birdie Fest a few weeks ago at the American Express, and he's won everywhere else, it seems like. He's won the Open Championship, he's won the Masters, he's won the Byron Nelson. Like, those are vastly different golf courses. Rory, you can say the exact same thing. It's one of those just statistical anomalies that I don't think there is a good answer to. And I know that that's a little underwhelming. And if you have one, I'm all ears right here. But you can't point to one thing, because I don't think anyone's going to say, well, you're talking about five or six of the greatest players who ever played the game. Maybe it's not a very good golf course. That's not the case at all. I would argue that Riv is one of the best courses that the PGA Tour plays outside of the major championships. And some of the changes that they made, you know, they extended the fourth hole to 270 yards. That's insane to me.
That was probably the hole that they least needed to change. It's always brutal. It's always difficult to hold that green. Because
I don't think they're playing that back
with three and four or four. No, it's going to be 270. It's going to be super wet. I don't anticipate that happening. But again,
there's no good answer, I guess, to come back. I wish I had something. I wish I could look at this. Like,
no, I was
pull
praying
a Brando Chamblee and tell you.
Yeah, I was praying you weren't going to ask me this, because I didn't have a good answer either. And I think it's particularly head scratching because there actually is such a strong correlation between success at Riviera and success 2 months later at Augusta National. When you look at the players who have won at Riviera just over the past decade, you're talking about Hideki Matsuyama, Adam Scott, John Rahm, Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson, like all those guys have won at Augusta National. Tiger Woods has won five Masters. Scotty Scheffler has won two Masters. Rory McIlroy, when he wasn't in contention at the Masters, he still had a handful of top finishes and obviously is the reigning champion this year. So that really does not make a whole lot of sense to me. The only thing that I could think of, Rex, is February might have something to do with it. It's the worst weather month in Los Angeles. You have Kikuyu grass, which is sticky, and it's something that players typically don't see throughout the rest of the year. And the Poana greens in these sort of conditions can get really mushy and also really bumpy. It sort of takes on like a texture and appearance of like broccoli. And so that's not ideal either. Would that change if you moved this to July or August? I think so. July and August are beautiful in Los Angeles. It'd be mid-80s, the driest months of the year. The golf course would play as intended, a little firmer and a little faster. That's the only thing I can think of, because it's unfathomable that those four players, who will go down most likely as four of the best of all time, top 10, top 12, top 15, wherever you want to eventually put it, for them not to all win at this golf course, again, which has such a strong correlation to Augusta, really, really befuddles me.
And it's worth pointing out, the U.S. Women's Open will be played at Riviera in June. We'll get an idea of, this won't be a theoretical conversation anymore. You'll see firsthand, oh, that's exactly how this golf course is going to play under those conditions. And my guess is that is a much better golf course than what we're going to have. Oh, God, yeah. And even take the, like, it's a bad forecast. You can't control that if you're a tournament director or a golf course.
But it's always a bad forecast, though, right? Yeah, it's always rain gear. It's always mushy.
It's always, eight out of 10 showings you end up with this weather. It's just, this is what you end up there. So, yes, I'm with you. That's probably the best reason I can come up with. But even that, it's not as though these players that we just rattled off haven't been able to go out. And I don't think anybody would say that, oh, Tiger Woods isn't a mutter. Like, no, he can go out and win in those conditions. I mean, he's done it before over the course of his career. Certainly, Jack did it. Rory has done it. Rory actually seems to play his best on soft golf courses, as you've pointed out on numerous occasions.
Tiger did skip the old LA Open for about a decade, in large part because he was just sick of throwing on the rain gear and sick of dealing with that golf course, those conditions in February. We have seen the golf course at that time of year before. I covered the U.S. Amateur. What was that, back in 2019? May have been 2018. U.S. Amateur at Riviera. That was obviously in August. Great golf tournament. Played properly in the conditions it's supposed to. We're going to have the Olympics. Obviously, Riviera is hosting all the golf events in 2028. So we're going to have that opportunity as well. Tiger seems pretty keen, pretty interested on moving his Genesis Invitational out of this time slot, out of the time of year he could never win. And it's hard to blame him based on his record. We'll see if it happens this week. If it's going to happen at all, Rex, you would think it would happen this time. Scottie Scheffler fresh off his eighth consecutive top four finish on tour. Rory just made 25 birdies and 2 eagles over 4 days in Monterey. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Golf Chill Podcast with Rex and Lav. We'll be back on Sunday. Yes, doing the inverted pyramid, where we do the biggest story up top and then the least important stuff last. Again, no offense, but it's probably going to be the voices in the crowd stuff. That's not to deter you from sending in your comments, sending in your questions. We want to get to it. We love talking about it. It just might not be as important as who wins the Genesis Invitational or whatever else happens in the world of golf. Thanks as always for listening. Thanks as always for the support. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you on Sunday.